Verse 16. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. There are three things that Paul tells us, actually commands us to do. He tells us to be joyful, to be prayerful, and to be thankful. Three things. Joyful, prayerful, and thankful. Someone called these three commands standing orders of the church. And they are what's called imperatives, and they're what's in the present tense in the Greek. That means it's a command, it's not a suggestion. We are commanded, and it's to be an ongoing, continual giving of thanks, an ongoing, continual prayer, and an ongoing joy that we're to have in the Lord. Thankfulness is the very essence of the Christian life and attitude. And I love that idea. The very essence. And I looked up the word essence. It means the essential nature of what something is. The very essence of what a Christian is, and that is that he is thankful, joyful and prayerful and thankful. Now, the shortest verse in the Greek New Testament is verse 16, shorter than Jesus wept from the Gospel of John in the English Bible. But here in the Greek, it's rejoice evermore, or it would be translated continually or always be rejoicing. Always be rejoicing. So part of the Christian's nature is joy, because joy is not based on circumstances. Now, tomorrow's Thanksgiving, and you may have a difficult time trying to think of things you're thankful for, but if you're a Christian, you have an artesian well within your soul. And it's not happiness, which is based upon happenings or circumstances. It's joy, which is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So no matter what's going on around you, you have this inner joy, this inner artesian well, and you have the joy of the Lord. And so the Bible tells us here that we should be rejoicing forevermore, always rejoicing. Read the book of Philippians. Paul was in prison, and yet he speaks about 19 times about the joy of the Lord. And then he says in verse 17 that we should pray without ceasing, or literally continual prayer. Be praying continually. Now that doesn't talk about, that's not necessarily meaning the act of kneeling and folding your hands and praying. It means that we have an attitude that is constantly looking up to God, constantly talking to God, constantly communing with God, constantly in fellowship with God. And by the way, when we're constantly praying and talking to God and communing with God, guess what happens? We're joyful. We're always joyful, and we're always thankful. All three of these are kind of intertwined among themselves. As I'm thankful, I'm praying. As I'm praying, I'm thankful, and I'm joyful. They're all worked together in harmony in the life of the believer. So we are to pray without ceasing. We're to continually pray and talk to the Lord. But our focus for just a moment is verse 18. In everything, give thanks. Why should we give thanks for everything? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So he's saying in Christ Jesus, you as believers, you as Christians, you as children of God, what should characterize your lives should be a thankful spirit, a heart of thanksgiving, a heart of praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. It's an essential attitude of the believer. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul says, be not drunk on wine wherein is excess or debauchery, but rather be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and singing, making melody in your hearts to the Lord. And then he says this, giving thanks unto God the Father for all things and in all things. So a spirit-filled believer is a thankful believer. I think one of the reasons I was drawn to these verses this week is because I needed them so desperately. It seemed that all the joy had drained out of my life and all the thankfulness had drained out of my life. And the Lord so spoke to me through this text, and he reminded me that a spirit-filled believer is a thankful believer, is a joyful believer. When we're filled with the Spirit, there's joy found in your heart. When you're filled with the Spirit, you're thankful. So you can do a little test right now. Has the joy gone out of your life? Are you grumpy and complaining and not thankful for anything? Then all you need to do is say, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. I surrender to you. I yield to you. I want your Holy Spirit to take control of my attitude and my mind and my heart so that I might have a joyful heart, so that I might have a prayerful heart, so that I might have a thankful heart in all things. You know what marks unbelievers is the opposite. The essential character of unbelievers is that they are unthankful and ungrateful. In Romans chapter 1, verse 21, it says that they knew God, they didn't glorify Him as God, neither were they thankful. Interesting. That downward trend of man's degeneration is that they knew God, but they suppressed that truth, and they weren't thankful. You know, I don't know what it is. It's crazy that all these people who don't know God, don't believe in God, they're not believers in Jesus Christ, and yet they talk about thanksgiving. Who are you thanking? Who are you thanking? How do you have thanksgiving without someone to thank? What are you thankful for? And people will try to muster up, well, I'm thinking, well, who are you thanking? And I think when we really think, we thank, but thanksgiving is to be directed to God. Who are you giving thanks to? It's interesting when you look at non-Christians, their philosophy or view of life could be number one, that they believe that life is just happenstance, and so they thank their lucky stars. You ever heard that? What in the world does that mean? I just thank my lucky stars. Everything's going my way. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-yay. I got a wonderful feeling. Everything's going my way. It's like, well, you know, what are you talking about? We talk about luck, they cross their fingers, they got a rabbit's foot in their back pocket, you know, and oh, I just hope everything, and they just thank their lucky stars. And they're not thankful to God. They don't really know who they're thankful to. Or some people go through life with a fatalistic outlook. Fatalism is that attitude that all events are predetermined. You can't change anything. What happened is going to happen. It's just inevitable. So you just let life kind of go that way, and whatever's going to happen is going to happen, and you can't change it, so you just got to grit your teeth and try to endure it. And then there's the positive mental attitude, folks, among unbelievers, which has crept into even believers, but unbelievers, think good thoughts and good things will come to you. Really? You've got to have a positive mental attitude. You just got to say good things and be positive. And if you're really positive, you know, then you'll be the president of the bank. You'll make a lot of money and your kids will be perfect and you'll never get sick and everything will be perfect. Right? It doesn't work that way. So you got the positive mental attitude, people. You don't say anything negative. I used to have a friend that if I said, oh, it's cloudy, don't say it's cloudy today. I'm serious. This guy was flipped out, man. Don't ask me why I hung around with him. Don't say you don't feel good today. Don't say anything negative. Don't say everything negative. And it's like, what's the deal with that? Positive mental attitude. Everything's going to be great. But when a person becomes a Christian, everything changes. It's not just fatalism. It's not just lucky stars. It's not just positive mental attitude. When you become a Christian, oh, what a glorious thing that is. You begin to realize that God is in control of your life. You are His child. Here's a great Thanksgiving verse. It's Romans 8, 28. That we know all things work together for good. To those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Amen. The non-Christian doesn't have that promise. He doesn't love God. He's not called according to His purpose. If you are a child of God, we know by faith, not by sight, but by faith, we know that all things, and what does all things mean? It means all things. And interesting that Paul says in this verse, in everything give thanks, not for everything, but in everything. I can't thank God for sinful things or evil things or bad things, but I can thank God that in the midst of them, God can turn evil for good. God is in control of my life. And that what may even seem like a bad thing in God's economy, if I'm His child, is a good thing. I love the story of Joseph. We're going to eventually get into a series on the life of Joseph on Sunday morning. God meant it for good. And after being rejected by his brothers and a slave in Egypt and forgotten in prison and finally exalted, and his brothers knelt before him and he forgave them and wept, he said, "You meant it for evil, but God intended it for good." That's a perspective that a Christian can have. Why? Because you see God in everything. You see God's hands in everything. And that's what as believers we can rejoice in, that God is in control in all the circumstances of our life. And I think it's a test of our spirituality. I think if we realize God's will for my life, and notice in verse 18, "For this is the what? The will of God for you." Matter of fact, all three of these are God's will for you, that you have joyfulness, prayerfulness, and thankfulness. All three of these are the will of God for you. This is God's will. And it's a test of our spirituality as to whether we are joyful, prayerful, and thankful. How spiritual you are will be determined by how joyful and thankful and prayerful you really are in your relationship to Christ. It's interesting, what keeps us many times from thankfulness is doubt. We doubt God's goodness. We doubt God's love. We doubt God's promises. We doubt God's presence. You know, sometimes we'll pray, "So Lord, we just ask that you'll be with us." You know, he already said he'll be with us. "Lord, please be with us." Like, he's like, "Dude, I'm here." It's like, lighten up. "Lord, we just, please, we just really need you with us right now. I told you I'd never leave you or forsake you." We need to just not doubt his promises, amen? You know that God hasn't left you. God hasn't forsaken you. You go, "Well, I can't see him, or I can't feel him, or I can't sense him." He's there. "Yea, if I walk through the valley of shadow of death, thou art with me," amen? "And your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Sometimes we become selfish, and that keeps us from being thankful. This is what really spoke to me. We become selfish and we're not getting our way the way we want it. And we get kind of pouty and complaining. And it's like, "Why hasn't God done this? And why hasn't God done that? And why aren't my kids more evenly spaced apart? And why are my kids just spaced rather than spaced apart, you know? And why isn't this? And why, you know, why God let me get sick? And why did this happen? And why didn't I get the job? And why does he have a nicer car than me? I'm more spiritual." And then we're not thankful because we're selfish. Our worldliness can cause us to be unthankful. We love the things of the world rather than the things of the Lord. Lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, that'll rob a thankful heart. Our critical spirit, we become bitter and we complain and we gripe. I've got the gift of complaint. It just flows naturally from me. Show me anything I can complain about it. And if I'm not walking in the Spirit, you don't want to be around me. So, Lord, I need your help not to be critical or fault-finding and to just rejoice in the good things that you've done. Our impatience will keep you from being thankful. We don't want to go through the process of being sanctified or growing or learning. We want it, and we want it now, right? Want instant gratification, instant satisfaction. We want everything. We want it. We want it now. Want a perfect marriage. Want perfect ministry. We want a perfect house, perfect marriage. Everything now, in Jesus' name. And if it doesn't happen, because God, have you ever found out God's not in a hurry? Man, is he not in a hurry. And we get complaining. We lose our thankfulness. Our spiritual coldness or apathy. We become spiritually dead and not alive unto God. Or just flat out rebellion will cause you to be unthankful. Rebelling against God or hardening your heart against, by the way, the will of God. If you want the will of God, then you will have a thankful heart. If you want your way, if you, unlike Jesus, are praying, "Not your will, but my will," then you're going to be miserable and unthankful. But if you say to God, "Not my will, but thine be done," then you will have a thankful heart. So, here it is. God's will for our lives as his people. joyfulness, prayerfulness, and thankfulness, verse 18. Now, no better way to wrap up these verses than with Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, where Paul says these words. He says, don't worry, and I'm quoting from the Living Bible, don't worry about anything. Tell God your needs, and don't forget to what? Thank Him for His answers. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Tell God your needs, and don't forget to thank Him for His answers. Amen.